Amen. We're getting some folks on here today, and Jim says, hey, y'all, let's see if I can stay on longer than 5 minutes. Probably not, Jim, probably not, but we'll wait to see what happens. Anyway, I hope you're all having a good day today. I'm having a better day than I had yesterday. I praise the Lord for that. Amen. But we are ready to go here this afternoon, and wow, Kenneth Copeland, and boy, do we come to a devil here. And Tracy, good to have you on. Tracy there, good to see you. My wife is on there. It's always good to see you. Let's see. Jacob. Alias Jacob. Christine Sinclair, I hope you're doing well. Good to have you on. Jessica is on. Kristen, out of the dungeon of sickness and back into the light, it sounds like, there from being sick with the flu that was going around, this mini bug that everybody had. So glad to see that you're up and moving there. Praise the Lord for that. And back to giving me a hard time about still frames here, it looks like. Yeah, I had that screen that was just stuck on there for a while. That's what happens when you... That's how you know you're not dealing with a professional. You're dealing with Pastor Cooley. That's how you know that. All right, let's see. Kristen Hadley, good to have you back on here. Joe M. And my dad is here. I don't know how he figured out how to get on there, but praise the Lord he did. He's starting to figure that out. That smartphone. Hey, you get a guy an $800 smartphone, he finally figures out how to use it, right? Praise the Lord for that. He's getting it figured out. You know, just this last week, I started actually getting notices for when my broadcast goes on. I thought that was kind of interesting because some of you don't even get the notices probably, obviously. Let's see. The Authorized Mike is back on, alias strong spiritual warfare. Carly is there too, but she's driving. Well, I'm glad that she's driving and she's not on there. All right. Pay attention to the road. Let's see. And then the moon pie. Are you ever going to do something on Billy Graham? What, are you kidding me? You didn't just ask me if I did something on Billy Graham. Did, well, I'm just going to go to that right now. You went there. You asked me if I did something. Am I ever going to do something on Billy Graham? Well, I'll have you know that back in, let's see. Let's see. Here it is right here. Here we go. Prophets of the New Age Church, Billy Graham, 3/27 of 2014. I covered Billy Graham. Billy, the Jesuit co-adjutor. I already, or if you're a hillbilly, you can call him an agitator. Anyway, I did cover Billy a long time ago, at least 6 years ago, 5 years ago. 5 years ago, it looks like. Over 5 years ago. But well, goodbye, Joseph Waller. The many faces of Joseph Waller. That guy has more chins than a Chinese phone book, doesn't he? Let's see. Here we go. Goodbye. So I covered Billy Graham. You can see the video. And you can also see the video that I did, the short video I did on YouTube about Billy Graham that made a whole lot of people mad at me. But listen, let's be careful. We don't rejoice that anybody's in hell, okay? I don't rejoice. I do talk about it when these famous people do die and go to hell. And because I believe it's a way to... I just insulted Jim's inner hillbilly. Yeah, I probably did. Yeah, Joseph the troll always comes back in like different... He's like the reincarnation of... poop, kind of. It just keeps coming back and coming back, and he has this like weird agenda. It's like a continual reincarnation of turds or something. It's really strange, but it just continues on. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. There's a wideness to God's mercy. I'm so glad to hear you say that, Billy. Bunch of devils. But hey, today, Kenneth Copeland, the king of the devils. I really think he has a direct hotline to Satan. It's like a direct hotline, Kenneth Copeland, to Satan. Like they're on a one-on-one name-to-name basis. And they probably like hangout places. Like, that's how bad it is. All right? That's how absolutely bad it is. So we're going to talk about Kenneth Copeland today. And really get into it about him. And, you know, as I try to find the right videos, I added a bunch of videos, and I'm hoping I have time for all of them today. There's just really is a lot of videos here to cover today, but they're short. A lot of them are short. I mean, Kenneth Copeland, honestly, as soon as those devils leave his body, I really think it's going to deflate on the ground. But his wife is just as bad. And I wasn't going to show this video. Okay. Joseph. I'm not going to answer your question, Joseph. I'm going to leave you in suspense for the rest of your life. I wasn't going to show this video. But I think it's worth showing. Just because it does a few things. I hate Hollywood, you all know that. I preach against it, I don't watch it, I hate it. But the similarities between the nonsense, right? The similarities between the nonsense of Hollywood and that, you just have to. Yeah, if any of the administrators see Joseph Waller on there, just take him off right away. Don't even give him a chance. Because he just wants to troll. I guess he doesn't have anything better to do. I hope he just keeps listening and he gets saved. And then he likes... Okay. So I'm going to show you this video first. Okay? And... not that one. This one. All right, now, this shows you the stupidity. This is not my video, obviously, but I've given them credit. It's on their channel. But I want to show you this first, okay, before we get going.
We don't have a flu season, and don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu.
Oh, man. Oh, it's so hard. I'm going to try not to laugh through this, but I can't promise you anything. Okay. All right.
Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. Put words, inoculate yourself with the word of God.
She said, inoculate yourself. Jesus gave us the antidote or the inoculation. So basically she's saying, if you just simply speak the word, then it will happen to you. What is the matter with you? Don't you know that? Just speak the word. I was in these people's house one time and this black lady was like a minister and she was part of this Pentecostal movement. And I think this is way before I was saved, I'm pretty sure. But my brother and I, we were in this lady's house, and I was like, So what church do you go to? And she was like, I go to Speak the Word. And we just kept making her kind of say that the whole time. Cause we liked the way it sounded when she said that. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? Okay, now hang on. This is the only funny thing probably in the entire broadcast today, but I have to get it out of my system first, okay?
Of God. Just keep saying that. I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Wake up, honey.
Well, listen, partners. We don't have a flu season. We've got a duck season, a deer season. But we don't have a flu season. And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on. And by his stripes, we were healed. If you've already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you right now, Father.
Wait. Whoa. Wait a minute. Hold the phone here, Princess Toadstool. Hold the phone here. You just said, we already got it. We already got inoculated. We're inoculated from the flu. We ain't going to get that. But if you did get it, I'm going to pray for you right now. I mean, is that the most like double talk you've ever heard a witch say in your entire life? She just totally contradicted everything she said before that right away. Right? She just totally contradicted every single thing she just said. But she could do it because she has a southern accent. If you have an accent, you can get away with anything. I'm serious. You can. You can get. You can. If you have an accent, you can say anything you want and get away with it almost. Right?
I pray for every person that has symptoms of flu. I'm asking you, Lord, by your supernatural power, to heal them now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself gave us the flu.
Flu, I bind you. Flu. Now, flu, I bind you. I'm sorry. If I make like all the southern people that listen to me mad, I'm sorry. It sounds more serious when you say it with a southern accent. It just does. It just does. Like, here's this lady and she's like, okay, flu, I bind you. And it's like, and people actually keep watching. Look, she just bound the flu. So if you're listening to this, I mean, she just bound it. I don't know what we're doing. How come we're not? Oh, wait a second. While we're on this, let's go somewhere real quick. I got to show you something here. I'm not going to have enough time to do this. I got to move, man. If I'm on here like over 2 hours. Oh, man. Where is that one at? Man, was it funny. Oh, man. I hope I can find it. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see. Hold on a second. Let's see, I can't find it, but there is this article that the Babylon Bee did, and it was talking about it was so funny. It was talking about all the charismatics were lining. It was a joke, and it was talking about all the charismatics lining up to go to stand in the eye of the storm and to call down the storm. Kenneth Copeland says, I don't have that video today. But Kenneth Copeland says that he does have the power to bind, to stop storms. Him and Gloria, they figured that out as they were cruising in their jet, that they had the power.
Flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of flu. And we receive it and we take it and we are healed by his stripes. Amen. You know, the Bible says he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. When we were healed, we are healed.
Well. Oh, man. I'm trying to. I know you don't want to listen to me laugh the whole time. I'm sorry. I'm gonna try not to, but I can't help it. It's it's too funny to me, and I haven't laughed for a few days, so I feel pretty good about laughing about this.
So get on the word, stay on the word, and if you say, well, I don't have any symptoms of the flu, well, great, that's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep saying that. I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu. Put words. Inoculate yourself.
Inoculate yourself. You got to inoculate yourselves. And if you do that, you won't get the flu. Look, I got news for you. There's a lot of people that tell themselves, I ain't getting sick. Look, I'm in a church here with 30 kids. And everybody in this church is like, I'm not going to get sick. then all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden, here it comes, a rushing wave of whatever it is that's going around, and flew up on you. I don't think it's going to work. By the way, on a serious note, that's also witchcraft. But I mock them just like Elijah mocked them when they were trying to get their gods to work, and it didn't work.
With the word of God, he himself bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and by his stripes I was healed. I am healed, and Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's so fake when she says it like that. It's so absolutely fake. It drives me insane. Oh, anyway. Okay. Well, the Bible says, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's not talking about spirits. It's talking about with the local New Testament church, and it's talking about disciplinary actions and things like that, not loosing and binding diseases and all that kind of stuff. It's just ridiculous, but what do they know about any of that? They're biblically inept. Ooh, look at Kenny. Okay, so we're going to get started here with the world's favorite heretic, Kenneth Copeland. And where we'll finish at is what happened with him and with the Pope and him declaring the Reformation to be over. Okay? So, amen. That's right, authorized Mike. Crawl in, don't call in. I grew up in fundamental churches, man. I mean, I got saved. I didn't get saved until I was 25, but when I was a kid, I was in fundamental churches, but I didn't know much about that. But when I got older, I got saved at 25 years old and called to preach. Man, you just didn't miss church, man. You just didn't miss church. We just ain't missing it. Right? All right, Kenneth Copeland, the founder of Believer's Voice of Victory, is one of the most popular of the Word Faith preachers and walks in the footsteps of the late Kenneth Hagin. His broadcasts are heard in many parts of the world, and his books have been distributed by the millions. Consider some of Copeland's statements. You're all God. You don't have a God living in you. You are one. When I read in the Bible where God tells Moses, I am, I say, yeah, I am too. Okay, so here we go.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
He doesn't even draw a distinction between himself and...
Never, never. You never can do that in a covenant relationship.
Do you know what else that has settled then tonight? This hue and cry and controversy that has been spawned by the devil to try and bring dissension within the body of Christ, that we're gods. I am a little God.
Yes. Yes.
I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship. Yeah. I am a little God. Critics.
Did you hear that? I am a little God.
Critics, you are
anything that he is.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
Wow, that is wicked as hell, isn't it? How wicked is that for that man to say that? But that's what he says. That's what he believes. He believes that he is God. And he is God. Now listen, that's not even it. There's more. He, Adam, was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God even. Adam is as much like God as you could get, just the same as Jesus. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh. Now, I'm going to show you this so you know that's what he said. He's saying, where does the Bible say that Adam was God manifest in the flesh? It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible that Adam was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached on to the world, and received up into glory. That says that about Jesus Christ, not Adam. Adam was not God. Okay? So let's find that here. Here we go.
Adam.
Whoops, let me back up.
God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself.
Stop. That is not what it says. That is not what the Bible says. That God had a desire to reproduce himself. Doesn't say that anywhere in the scriptures.
I mean a reproduction of himself. And in the Garden of Eden, he did that. He was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God even.
Okay, did you hear that? He said Adam was not subordinate to God. Okay, well, let's look. Let's look and see if he was. Now, here's the thing. When we are commanded by someone that has authority over us, right? Then we are subordinate to them. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, if someone has the power to kill you, right, then you are subordinate to them. Right? You are subordinate to them. Look at this. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew not that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. And they knew that they were naked, excuse me. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why'd they hide? Because they were subordinate to God, that's why. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Wait a minute. Why would you be afraid if you weren't subordinate? And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said to the serpent, So God puts down the punishment for all of that. Right?
And Adam is as much like God as you could get. Just the same as Jesus, when he came into the earth, he said, If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't a lot like God. He's God manifested in the flesh. And I want you to know something. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh.
Okay, so that's a lie.
Whoops. Now let me say this. When you understand that,
we're going to talk about that
reason
too, later on. That's a lie. What he just told you is an out-and-out lie, and I just showed you from Scripture that it's a lie. The only one it ever says is God manifest in the flesh is Jesus Christ. He's lying. He's just preaching out-and-out heresy to people. Right? Okay. He says Adam was the copy. Look just like God. If you stood Adam upside God, they look just exactly alike. If you stood Jesus and Adam side by side, they would look and sound exactly alike. Where does the Bible say that? It doesn't. It doesn't say that anywhere. He made it up. Why? Because he wants to be God. Now, what gospel is he preaching? I'll show you what gospel he's preaching. You know it too. Look at this. For God doth know that in the day ye thereof that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This is Kenneth Copeland. This is the gospel of Kenneth Copeland. Satan's gospel. That you can be God in the flesh. Right? That's Satan's gospel. Right? It's the Mormon gospel. It's many of those other gospels. Listen, all true heresy, listen to me closely. All true heresy, all of it is centered around a false view of Christ. If your view of Christ is wrong, then your doctrine is flawed. If you know who Jesus Christ is, and you understand it, and you grow in that knowledge that he is the Son of God, God manifests in the flesh, Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, then guess what? You have the truth. And you understand it. And if you learn more about Christ from the Bible, don't let that bother you. That's not a bad thing. Well, I didn't know everything about Jesus. Well, none of us do. We're going to learn it for all of eternity. Right? We're going to learn it all through this life, especially, that we are going to learn. Right? But we know the gospel, the Jesus of the Bible. We know he's Savior and he's Lord. We know who he is. And we know we're not. Amen. All right. Let's keep going here. He goes on to say, God made us as much like himself as possible. He made us the same class of being that he is himself. The believer is called Christ. That's who we are. We're Christ. No, I'm not Christ. I'm not Christ. And the believer is not Jesus Christ. He has Jesus Christ in him. He is made in the image, being born again from above, but he's not Jesus Christ. Now, what is that saying? Here's what that's saying. Let's see. I never know how Luke does this. He does it somehow, and I can't ever get this to work when I try. I don't know what the deal is, but it never works. Let's see. It hides my results for some while. Let's see. Hang on a second. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know how he does that, but every time I try to use this, it never works right for some reason for me. I don't know what the deal is. Let's see here. There we go. I have to erase it and start over for some reason. By the way, isn't that interesting? Come in the flesh is three times. Hereby we know that ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Well, if you say that Adam was Christ, was God in the flesh, then that means you are denying Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. Do you understand that? You're denying it. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist. Why? Listen, because the spirit of Antichrist is going to come in his own name. Kenneth Copeland says, I am Christ. I am. And he says, I am also. I am too. What is he saying? That's what he's saying. He's denying Jesus, the Lord and Savior, the literal Christ. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Right? This is a deceiver and antichrist. So these people are denying the work of Christ, that he came in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, right? We know that verse. 2 Timothy 3:16. Right. Good point. Let's go there. That's the book of Jude. Look at this. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Amen. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men! Kenneth Copeland's a billionaire. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny him. Think about that. Wait a minute. Let's go back to that for a second. And denying the only Lord God. Them saying they are a Christ or a little Christ or they are little gods or they are Christ is denying the only Lord God. Right? It's to deny God. That's what they're doing. They're denying Christ. And they're doing it with fair speeches and words, the way they're doing. But they're using the same words. They're witches. That's what Rome does, the same thing. And they all have the same harlot spirit. Bunch of whores. What do whores like? They like money. They like getting paid for their fornication. And they're filthy. And they don't blush, many of them. They can walk around naked around people and not blush. It's like strip clubs and other things like that. They can walk around nude and not blush because they have a whore's forehead. These are spiritual whores, and they can't be shamed. They're not ashamed of what they do. Well, your friend's lost and dead in his sins, Lisa. He's not saved. Okay, here we go. Check this out. Jesus is no longer, this is Kenneth Copeland, and I quote, Jesus is no longer the only begotten Son of God. Pray to yourself, because I'm in yourself and you're in myself. We are one spirit, saith the Lord. He says to pray to yourself. Jesus said, pray to the Father. Not pray to yourself. Pray in the Spirit, not pray to yourself. Think about that. Think about it. Okay, I want to show you some of the devil possession and confusion before we keep going here. this is, he's on stage and he basically says nothing, but you'll get the point.
Give you a chance to raise your income. Praise God. You missed a place to shout right there that you need to get used to this now.
Give you a chance to increase your income. I mean, people actually look up to these people who take a Bible and talk about your money all the time. You know what amazes me is these people get so much money given to them, but preachers and ministries that work hard to serve the Lord and be faithful to God and do the work of the Lord, they most people look down on them because of people like this. That's what happens.
Amen. Glory to God. Of course, all of our offerings will go toward the outreaches of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and especially Kenneth Copeland Ministries Canada. And it is, and the territories under which the Canadian office is. Shigama. Tevrema humbo breve judis to cinemahan tetike. The movement of the Spirit of God that has been prayed over, called down, cried over, died over, sought after. People crying for the lives of other people throughout this entire North American continent, but most especially in these territories and in these places in which we sit tonight. Centuries. People crying and dying, knowing it's coming.
Yeah. He said nothing. He besides the gibberish that he said, he said nothing after it. Crying and dying. Dying. And crying. And he's not even talking about anything. Like, it's nothing. It's not. He's not talking about anything.
Knowing that there is a move of God beyond anything human eyes have ever seen. Knowing it's coming. Prophets have prophesied of it. People have prayed, seeing it in the Spirit. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we are in the first rains of a major flood. It has already begun. Amen. Now, I said that by the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to say this. This is me talking, all right? But I'm still speaking of the Spirit, but on a different level.
What did that even mean? I'm still speaking in the Spirit, but on a different level. What did that even mean?
Disease, weakness, and pain. I break your power in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no power. The divine dunamis of God, the divine anointing of the Christ child,
The divine presence of his glory is in you and on you right now, saith the Lord, and sickness and disease, you be gone.
Wow.
We're going to load down your ship tonight. We're going to load down your ship tonight. And
so here we go. So here's Kenneth Copeland, and he's breaking all the binds of sickness, and he's breaking sickness as if sickness is a person that's walking around or a devil that's walking around, and his name is sickness, and he just walks around all day and makes people sick. So he breaks sickness. He's breaking it, right? He's gonna stop sickness from making people sick. Right? Well, I don't think it works that way, do you? I don't think that's really possible. Now here, listen to what he has to say about God.
Who's the biggest failure in the Bible? God is. What'd you say?
You know, everybody asks you, say, who's the biggest failure? They say, Judas. Somebody else will say, no, I believe it's Adam. Well, how about the devil? He's the most consistent failure.
Okay.
But he's not the biggest in terms of material failure and so forth. Biggest one in the whole Bible is God. Mm. Oh, what? Don't you turn that set off. You listen to what... I told you now, you sit still a minute. You know me well enough, no, I wouldn't tell something I can't prove in the Bible. He lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel, the first man he ever created, first woman he ever created, the whole earth, and all the fullness therein, a third of the angels, at least. That's a big loss, man. I mean, you figure all that, that's a lot of real estate, brother. Gone down the drain. Now, the reason you don't think of God as a failure is he never said he's a failure. No. And you're not a failure till you say you won.
Wow. You have got to be kidding me. So God's not a failure because he never said he was. And you're not a failure either until you say you are. It's like, where do these people get this? Well, from Satan, we know. But who are the people that actually listen to this and actually believe it? Right? Who are the people that say these things, and then who are the people that actually believe it? Think about that. Right? Because they actually believe it. But this is who these people are. Okay, this is what they stand for. This is what they believe. Now I'm going to keep reading here to you. I've got two more videos here. This one is an 11-minute video. It'll take a while to get through. And we did this one, and then this one will take a while to get through. So it'll take the rest of the broadcast almost to get through for the most part. But we're going to pick up on a lot of things. That's just the truth of it. Oh, somebody's saying I use false things in my Disney video. Yeah, I don't think I use anything false in my Disney video. I think you're just mad because I kicked your Mickey. That's what you're mad about. Nobody likes when you step on Donald Duck and you kick Mickey. I've had so many people go, oh, boy, and get really mad at me when Mickey gets kicked. But anyway, that's the way it goes. That's life. Let's see here. Let me read you something here. Now, this is the heresy. Let's get into this, and we'll finish up with these two videos, which will take an hour to get through those. So, anyway. I like how people people get mad about stuff. Anyway, he says this. It wasn't the, here's what Kenneth Copeland said. It wasn't the physical death on the cross that paid the price for sin. Anybody could do that. Right? Let's stop there for a second. No, not anybody could do that, because it was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And what? How did a lamb take away the sin? Its blood had to be shed, and it had to be pure, right? It had to be pure. It had to be a firstborn. There's a lot of things that go into that. He goes on to say, that's from a sermon, What Satan Saw on the Day of Pentecost. And while I was laying there thinking about these things, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, son, realize this. Now follow me in this. Don't let your tradition trip you up, he said. So God's telling him, Kenneth Copeland is saying, God is telling him, now look, son, don't let your tradition trip you up. Right? Think this. A twice-born man whipped Satan in his own domain. And I threw my Bible down. I said, what? He said, a born-again man defeated Satan. The firstborn among many brethren defeated him. He said, you are the very image of the very copy of that one. I said, goodness gracious, sakes alive. And I began to see what had gone on in there. And I said, you don't mean, you couldn't dare mean that I could have done the same thing. He said, oh yeah, if you had the knowledge of the word of God that he did, you could have done the same thing, because you're a reborn man too. From Copeland, What Happened from the Cross to the Throne, tape number 2 of 0017. Okay, so what Copeland is saying is that God told him that, hey, you're born again, you could beat Satan like that. Now, let me tell you something, friend. You and I are no match for Satan. We are no match for Satan. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God in us, he would devour us. And if God let him, he would devour us, our flesh. That is the pride of a man's heart, to believe that he could take on Satan like that. But he says that the atonement didn't, or that sins weren't forgiven on the cross, that the victory didn't come on the cross. Well, let's just look at that. Let's look at Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians 1:7. Look at this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his to the riches of his grace. Right? You see that? Colossians 1:14. It says, well, verse number 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of our sins comes through the redemption of his blood, right? Now, it's true we are justified by the resurrection, right? But that's the gospel. Jesus was not reborn in hell. He is not the phoenix rising out of the ashes and out of the flames to rise up, to be reborn from the fire. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. That is that generative principle. That is that sons of God, daughters of men. That is where the beast comes out of. He comes out of the pit. Do you understand that? Five times. Look at this. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of the great furnace and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now what happens? An whole army comes out of that pit. And the beast, right? Wow. Beast is 180 times. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. And deceiveth them that dwell upon the of the earth, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Okay. What verse am I looking for? Oh, here it is, verse 11, sorry. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. That Apollyon is going to come up out of that pit, right? He's got an army. I saw beasts rise up out of the sea. See that? Who's that beast that's going to rise up? Who's the phoenix that's going to rise up? That's the Antichrist. Now, there are many people that want to debate whether Jesus went to hell. I absolutely 100% believe Jesus went to hell. I have no problem with that. It was about victory. Why couldn't he go there? The Bible says that if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. God is everywhere. Nothing holds God. Nothing stops. No flames can harm him. Right? At that point, his body was in the earth. Right? And he went down into the prisons and preached to the prisoners down there in the earth that were in their holding cells. And he preached to them. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he did. So I have no problem with that, but it's about victory. I don't think there's any proof at all that he would have suffered down there. I've seen people make an argument for that, but not the charismatic one that goes even further that says that he was reborn by fire. Right? That's the one that they teach. That's a Gnostic gospel. It's from the pits of hell. So then there becomes this overreaction to say, well, Jesus never went to hell, period. Well, why couldn't he? He's God. He can go to hell. Why couldn't he? He owns it. It's his. Satan doesn't have any power in hell right now. Satan doesn't rule hell. Right? Jesus rules everywhere. He's Lord. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So anyway, but the charismatics teach something different. So they try to teach a different gospel. Now let's go back to our scriptural study here of that, of the atonement, and the fact that of that in Romans 3. Romans 3:24. I wrote these down in my book here. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Amen and amen and amen. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen. Jesus, the justifier. Right? Now, Revelation 1:18 doesn't say that someone else had the keys. It just says that I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. It doesn't say that it said Satan caused people to fear. talks about, let's look at that. It says here that, let's see. Here's a flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. Jesus always had the key. All right? He always had the keys. But Satan had this fear over death, or had this fear that he could use over people for death. Anyway. And then obviously Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right? So that's the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no salvation outside of the cross. It's the cross, right? It's the cross. And it's the gospel. Right? I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen of above 500. Think about that for a second. All right? Anyway, that was heresy. Okay, here's another heretical comment by Kenneth Copeland. God has never used sickness to discipline his children. Believer's Voice of Victory, September 1989. Well, that's a lie. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Actually, turn to Luke 1:20. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's look at this. Luke 1:20. Look at this. Actually, look at 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Well, that's struck with sickness right there. Because if you went to a doctor and they said, well, what happened to him? He must have had a stroke or something, because he can't talk. He was made dumb. So apparently right there, it was God's will for him to be sick, because he gave it to him. Right? Let's look at 2 Samuel 12:15. And verse number 13, the Lord said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath also put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. Right? David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. What happened? The child died. The child got sick, and the child died. Why? Because God punished him, punished David with sickness on his child. Okay, and let's see. Here's another quote by Kenneth Copeland. The first step to spiritual maturity is to realize your position before God. You are a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Consequently, you are entitled to all the rights and privileges in the kingdom of God, and one of their rights is health and healing. I don't know where he got that one at, but that's not in the Bible. Right? And he said it would have been, here's another one, it would have been possible for Jesus to have been poor. Really? The apostles were poor. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Right? Silver and gold have I none. Oral Roberts and him said, silver and gold have we plenty. Right? Mm-hmm. By the way, let's look at Mark 6:37. Whether Jesus was poor. Mark 6:37. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Okay. So if Jesus had plenty of money and he was like rolling in the money, right? If he was rolling in the money, then guess what he would have done? I mean, it wouldn't have been anything for him to pay for 5,000 people for food. Because he's rolling in it, right? So that would have been a problem, right? Well, 200 penny worth wouldn't have paid for all that food for all those people. It wouldn't even have been enough, would it have? Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Right? That's what the Bible says. That's what God's word says, that he was poor. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Right? He was poor. For their sakes, for our sakes. Why do you think that box of ointment was such a big deal that was broken over his head? Right? Yep. All right, he goes on to say here, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth. That is the principle of faith. You can have what you say. No, you can't. If it's according to God's will, God will bless you and give it to you if you pray to him and ask him. Right? But that's not always the case. Listen to what he says here. As a believer, you have the right to make commands in the name of Jesus. Each time you stand on the word, you are commanding God to a certain extent because it is his word. You don't command God to do anything, friend. If you think you can command God to do something, you're going to find out real quick God's going to show you that ain't happening. To try to command God, that just, to me, it baffles the mind. Okay. Now, the first video we're going to get to here on Kenneth Copeland, or the first, I mean, the next video we're going to get to, not that one. We're done with that one. Yeah, I think we'll go to this one here.
We'd just like to ask you about why you don't want to fly commercial. Why have you said that you won't fly commercial? You said that it's like getting into a tube with a bunch of demons. Why do you think that?
No, listen to me just a second. Of course. Not the people. The main reason is because of the need. If I flew commercial, I'd have to stop 65% of what I'm doing. That's really the main.
Isn't it true that you want to fly commercial so that you can fly in luxury? How much money did you pay for Tyler Perry's Gulfstream jet, for example?
Well, for example, that's really none of your business, but...
Isn't it the business of your donors?
Listen, I paid.
Holy buckets, he looks ticked. He looks at it. Listen, I paid. He just looks at it right now like, lady... I would eat your brains with a spoon if nobody was looking right now.
You kind of caught me off guard here, okay?
Certainly. Well, if you'd like to come out here, I'd like to give you a chance to catch your breath and have a conversation. We don't want to catch you off guard.
I love Inside Edition. You got to get this now. Hey, you listening to me? My wife thinks Inside Edition is, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, them demons are going to pop out of my eyeballs any minute.
Now, thank you, Lord. Help me. Just let me pray. Just
let me just ask you a really simple question. A lot of people think it's unbecoming for a preacher to live a life of luxury and to fly around in private jets. What's your response to that?
Very simple. It takes a lot of money to do what we do. We have brought over 100... Let's see. The latest figures just came out. 122 million people to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so this guy's trying to say that he's led 122 million people to the Lord.
Let me give you another example. Last May, I was scheduled... for Lagos, Nigeria. That's a long ways. I had a week off, and I was scheduled for Peru. And I prayed about it, and I thought, I'm not missing that dedication in Jerusalem.
I'm not missing that dedication in Jerusalem. Look at the serpent's eyes come up. I'm not doing that. Dude, that guy looks scary.
Without the airplane that we have that I bought from Tyler Perry, and I didn't pay anywhere. And Tyler's one of the greatest guys. He made that airplane so cheap for me, I couldn't help but buy it.
I love stopping his facial features. They're great.
Airplane so cheap for me, I
He just looks insane.
Couldn't help but buy it.
I mean, what's wrong with Tyler giving me that good of a deal, man? I had to buy that thing.
Question then. Okay, all right, but I want to get to the demons because people are very concerned about that.
This lady. I want to get to the demons. Can we please talk about demons? This lady is just so plain. She's just like, okay, can we talk about demons now? Demons in a tube. They're both a bunch of cartoon characters, man.
That comment.
Give me a chance here, Inside Edition. Okay. I love your eyes. And here's what happened. We flew in 21 days, 70 hours, 40,000 miles, touched 5 continents, and preached face to face personally with 100 and 25,000 people.
Do you ever use your private jets to go visit your vacation homes, for example?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Again, getting back to the comment, you said that you don't like to fly commercial because you don't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. Do you really believe that human beings are demons?
No, I do not. And don't you ever say I did.
No, I do not. Don't you ever say I did. Dude, look at that finger right there. He's going to stick that right there, her head, and eat her brains out.
We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers.
Can you explain what you meant by that, by that term then? Just explain, because it's really simple. You said you didn't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. What did you mean?
Well, let me ask you.
Do you think that people that fly commercial are demons?
If you give me a chance to talk, sweetheart, I'll explain this to you. But it's a biblical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It doesn't have anything to do with people. People, I love people. Jesus loves people. People get pushed in alcohol. Do you think that's a good place for a preacher to be and prepare to go preach to a lot of people when somebody in there is dragging some woman down an aisle? It made me so mad to see that on television. I wanted to punch the guy out myself. I can't be doing that while I'm getting ready to preach.
So you just don't like to be around the sinful people or the hurtful people. Is that what you're saying?
Not the people, baby. Not the people. Back during the days that we couldn't do anything else, we had to travel commercial. When I went to Oral Roberts University, I flew for Oral Roberts. I'm a commercial pilot. So I spent a lot of time in airplanes.
You have how many planes?
We have the Gulfstream. And we still have our Citation 10. And then we have a little small airplane. But those are the two ones that we use. And we use them all the time. And other people use them too. We have other ministries that use these. In the book of Ephesians, oh God, I love this. We wrestle not with people, but with principalities and powers, unseen things, rulers of the darkness of this world. Talking about the devil, he's a very real devil, just the same as Jesus is a very real Lord. And I spent a lot of time on airlines. But the main thing that happened was not, that wasn't the main reason. The main reason was I could no longer do what I called to do and be on the airlines. Besides that, I need my clothes when I get there.
And you have some fancy clothes.
I mean,
for a pastor, you are living a life of luxury.
Yes,
you've got great homes. You've got great planes.
You
drive in limos.
I'm a very wealthy man.
You're a very wealthy man.
Yes.
Yeah. And some people would say that, is it appreciated?
May I add something to that? My wealth doesn't come from offerings alone.
Because you sell things, books and DVDs.
Yes, and I have a lot of natural gas on our property. Didn't know that, did you, babe?
Now I do.
Yeah, you do. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, I guess. It's wonderful for you.
Back when, and I might add another thing, too. We invest from... let's see. I don't know the exact number on last year yet, but it will run something in the neighborhood of 20, 25 million in the poor. Can't do that and be broke.
So final question is, a lot of people maybe have a misunderstanding then about what you do in prosperity preaching. So the final question is this. To those critics that say that a preacher should not be living a life of luxury, what is your response to that?
They're wrong.
That's it?
That it's a misunderstanding of the Bible. That if you go into the Old Covenant, do you think the Jewish people believe you should be broke?
Are you saying that Jewish people appreciate money more than...
Really? No, they believe in wealth.
Some people would find that offensive.
No, wait a minute now. I'm not talking about some people. I'm talking about the Bible. The blessing of Abraham. Abraham was extremely wealthy, and he had a covenant with God. It's not the Jewish blessing, it's the Abrahamic blessing. God, I get excited talking about it because I love it. And I started out deep in debt with nothing, which is another story. But anyway.
So you say that it's biblical and that, that there's a foundation in the Bible for this.
Let me close it with this. Sure. I had to learn this, like I said, from the Bible and from my spiritual mentor, Oral Roberts. And I learned.
That's where the anointing came from. He got anointed. Remember that?
Brother Copeland, would you come and stand in my place? Lori, would you come and stand in Evelyn's place?
Come stand.
Evelyn, would you come?
Come stand in Evelyn's place? Bunch of psychos.
Stand by me. Now, Brother Copeland and your dear wife, Gloria, would you look at us? Look on us.
Hey.
Silver and gold have we plenty.
So, that was just a reminder.
Learned it from him, working with him, and then we became, he was close friends until he died. And he took the same heat for believing God would prosper you that I've taken over the years. And Abraham was a very, very wealthy man. Galatians chapter 3. If you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. And his promise was great wealth.
That is a lie. Right? Because what he just did was, what he just did there, was take the blessings of salvation by faith and turn that into money.
The Bible also says that it's more difficult for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, correct?
The rest of the scripture. But he said, all things are possible with God. And he said, if you study the Greek behind that,
yep, go to the Greek.
It's trusting in wealth. When he said that, his disciples said they were astonished out of measure because they were wealthy men. They were astonished out of measure.
They were not wealthy men. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. They had no money. They had nothing to give him when they went to the temple. These were poor people.
Saying, how can anyone be saved? He said, all things are possible with God.
Both of my grandfathers were preachers. They were both very poor. They lived simple, modest lives. They were extremely offended by men that made money like you do, preaching like you do. What would your response be to people that think that preachers shouldn't live this kind of a lifestyle? Folks like both my grandfathers.
And I understand that. and I love them with all my heart. It's your grandfathers that we're standing on their shoulders. They held up and they stood for it. Glory to God. But when you go back to the...
He's such a fake.
Bible. It's full of wealth. And it's full of miracles and signs and wonders. And it's full of goodness. And it's full of meanness.
And I just want to eat your brains with a big old spoon.
It's just full of hell on earth. Those are the demons, not the people. I love the people.
Again, getting back to the... Sir, thank you so much for your time today.
Name?
Lisa Guerrero.
Lisa, God bless. Father bless Lisa today. Thank you for her grandparents.
I'm not letting her hand go. I want to rip her arm right out of her socket right here and eat it like it's a big old French fry.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to know her and to her team. And I pray and I believe her peace will be successful. I love Inside Edition. I love the people on it. And it thrills me to get a chance to have my face on Inside Edition.
Thank you very much,
you,
Reverend.
Girl.
You have a nice day.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much for your patience.
Whoa, that was kind of intense now, wasn't it? She just got the anointing there, boy. He prayed for her. He put his hands on her and prayed for her. She got the anointing. All right, so the last video today we're going to deal with is kind of bringing it all together. All back to Rome. All right, all back to Rome. All roads from the charismatic movement lead back to Rome.
Now, I knew this along, and I heard it from the Lord, but then I also know it now because of what I know. You're going to talk about tonight for a long time. Brother Tony, come on up, would you please? And Tony Palmer, some of
stinking Roman Catholic bishop.
Some of you may know Tony. Tony and I go way back, but
I wonder how far back. How far back, Ken?
He's going to be telling you the story. I asked him to come give his testimony, and he's got a special message for us tonight. So would you welcome Tony Palmer to this platform. Bishop, thank you, sir.
Bless you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
For giving me this opportunity to spend a couple of moments introducing to you something really, really special and historic. Now, why is it historic? Because in 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. Luther believed that we were saved by grace through faith alone. Amen. But that's not it. The Catholic Church believed that we were saved by works. And that was the protest. In 1999, they wrote this together, because in the Protestant church, we had a lot of cheap salvations. People were getting born again, but no fruit whatsoever. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. Together, we Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works.
See, it sounds really good, okay? But here's the thing. Here's the thing you have to understand. Vatican II and the doctrines of the Inquisition, all right? The doctrines of the Inquisition, Mary being co-redemptress, none of the Catholic doctrine has been laid down, right? None of this has been laid down. None of it has been repented of. It's the same doctrine. They haven't repented. And here's the thing. When they say grace, they don't mean what you mean when you say grace. When we say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, they redefine grace as something else.
This brought an end to the protest of Luther. And I'd like to pray this prayer. And if you agree, you can say amen.
And let me say something to you. I wasn't part of Luther's protest in that sense because I'm a Baptist. And the baptized believers have a history going all the way back to the apostles, and we were never part of them. We were never part of Rome. We were never part of Rome's false doctrine. Rome left us. Rome left the baptized believers. The baptized believers continued on in the faith. Rome went this way. And I can show you that. And go listen to the Baptist Battle for Liberty and the History of the Donatists. Go way back. I can go way back in the Wayback Machine there. So I wasn't part of Luther's. I wasn't trying to reform Rome. And I don't believe in reforming Rome.
This was a dying man's prayer. And when you know you're about to die, you certainly pray the most important prayers. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they all...
One around true Bible doctrine. One around the faith once delivered unto the saints, not the blasphemous mockery of the Roman Catholic Church, nor of the Protestant churches which believe in baby baptism or baptismal regenerations, the ones that do. There are some that do not, but there are many that do. And we will never all be one in that sense until we are with the Father. And then Christ will lead his congregation.
Also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have...
And here is El Papa, head pervert of them all, Jesuit, devil, head of the mastery, the mysteries, king of the mysteries, false antichrist of them all, Francis.
Dear brothers and sisters,
I'm not your brother.
Excuse me. Because I speak in Italian, but I cannot speak in English.
And I not to speak Italian, because I speak a beast, and I eat you.
But I will speak no Italian, no English, but carefully. È una lingua più semplice e più autentica. E questa lingua del cuore ha un linguaggio semplice, due regole. E con queste due cose andiamo avanti. Il vescovo fratello Tony Palmer, siamo amici da anni. E lui mi ha detto del vostro convegno, del vostro raduno. Con piacere, vi invio un saluto.
That guy gives me the willies, man. Ugh.
Un saluto gioioso e nostalgico. Unico Signore. Pregare al Padre e ricevere lo Spirito. Ma succede come nei quartieri. Mi permetto la parola separati.
Separati. So he says, oh, we're all just separated family. No, we're not.
Ma non potevano mangiare i soldi. E lì hanno trovato qualcosa di cultura, il soldo della nostra storia, di tante ricchezze culturali, anche religiose, tradizioni diverse. Ma dobbiamo trovarci come fratelli. Con gioia e nostalgia facciamo crescere e lodare Gesù Cristo come unico Signore della storia, tanto per e vi chiedo anche un favore di pregare per me, perché ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere. Io prego per voi, lo farò, ma io ho bisogno delle vostre preghiere. Ci diamo spiritualmente questo abbraccio e lasciamo che il Signore finisca l'opera che Lui ha incominciato.
It'd be like the hug of a devil. Ugh. I ask you to bless me, and I bless you.
Glory, glory, glory. Tony, thank you, sir. Come on, the man asked us to pray for him. Oh, Father. Father, we answer his request. And since we know not how to pray for him as we ought, other than to agree with him in his quest and in his heart for the unity of the body of Christ. We come together in the unity of our faith. Hallelujah.
We have no unity of faith with that guy. Well, I don't. They do. Let's be honest. They do have the unity of faith. the charismatic movement definitely has the unity of the faith. Remember when we started this charismatic series? Remember what we started with? Who were the first charismatics? Right? Who were the first charismatics? The first charismatics were the mystics of Rome.
Come up here and let's do it this way so he can see this whole congregation.
So I've got to go to the Vatican again.
Yes.
I'm ready, sir.
My dear sir. My dear sir, thank you so from the bottom of our hearts. All of these leaders represent literally tens of thousands of people that love you, that believe God with you, and in answer to your request, we have just prayed for you and with you, and we did so in the Spirit. And we believe we receive, according to the words of Jesus in Mark 11:24, that whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Our desire, sir, along with you, is in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you, sir. We do bless you. We receive your blessing. It's very, very...
Whoa. He said, we receive your blessing. El Papa's perverted blessing. Right? Right? That's what he received. So, you know, we're gonna finish up here with this, but he receives El Papa's blessing there. They have the same spirit. Now, keep in mind, with this prosperity pimp stuff going on, you have Benny Hinn, who we talked about the last episode. We talked about Benny Hinn. And Benny Hinn, he visited Rome with Paula White. Paula White, Trump's pastor, which is the next one I'm doing, I think. Trump's pastor, Paula White. I can't wait to do that one. That one's going to be interesting. But here's the thing. These people are all connected to Rome openly.
Very important to us. And we bless you with all of our hearts. We bless you with all of our souls. We bless you with all of our might. And we thank you, sir. We thank God for you.
He just thanked God for the Pope.
And so, all of us declare together, be blessed. Once again, all together. Be blessed.
Translation, from one witch to another, be blessed.
God's will be done. Amen. Tony, thank you, sir. My, how you blessed this place tonight.
I love you.
Give him a love, baby.
Thank you.
Amen. Woo! I told you you'd never forget it. Yeah. Whoa.
Well, that was certainly interesting, wasn't it? Well, that's Kenneth Copeland. That's who he is. That's who he's working for. But, you know, it's important to understand Ephesians chapter 4 is written. The book of Ephesians is written to the local church. It's a church at Ephesus. Okay? And the unity is talking about a local church. Look, I can't be unified where every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part with everybody online. It doesn't happen. A body functions together. It works together. And when you get into a local church, you figure that out. People don't like that, but I'm telling you the truth. That's what the Bible says. You read Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It's about the church being armed up, protected all the way through, and serving the Lord. It is the context of the local body, the local assembly. That's the context. Now, there certainly is teachings all over it for all believers. But the point is, this unity and maturity, it doesn't happen between me and you out there online. Yes, you can grow by listening to this preaching, and yes, we grow in fellowship, but we're not going to work together as a working literal body like the church does. The local church does. That's the difference. So if you don't understand that, that's what happens. People, you try to apply this. If you try to apply this to anything else, it doesn't work. I'm going to tell you what. People get tested more at a local church, striving to love one another and care for each other, and denying their flesh and taking up their cross and following Christ and learning to work together with other people, learning to submit themselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Honoring the offices that the Lord has laid down in the church, right? And understanding those. And understanding the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body, the perfecting of the saints. All those things. Right? So, you have to understand that in the context of which is given. Hey, just check it in here. There's 40 likes on there. We have 85 people on. You should all try to like that if you haven't done that yet. And try to get those up, moving up. That'd be great. If you would do that, please, if you've been listening for any time and you like the fact that we're exposing these people and telling the truth so your friends can click on any of these videos and they will know the history of the charismatic movement, okay? They'll know the history of who these people are. And if you do that, if you like it, it helps get that algorithm pushed out there and helps get things moved around so other people can see them and, you know, just pushes it kind of to the forefront, which we'd like to see. So if you haven't liked it yet, please do that, okay? Please help us get these out to everybody. We don't monetize our account. We don't charge people or do super chats and all that stuff. We trust the Lord. Some people send in and support us. But we just keep trusting the Lord. Amen. So, and God's good to us. Pray for us and pray for the ministry. Pray for this week. This has been two weeks, and then this week going in, this is the most trying week of all, probably, just because it's in our hometown and we enjoy it, but it is definitely a challenge. Okay. It is definitely a challenge to preach to thousands of people here. We preached to hundreds of thousands of people over the last couple weeks, but we're going to preach to thousands of people in this town. And we passed out 9,700 tracts over the last 10 days or so of evangelism, 6 days of evangelism. We handed out almost 9,700 tracts. We're hoping to get 4,000 tracts out this week. Something like that. Yep, we're preaching again this weekend. We'll be out there Friday night, Saturday night, and we'll be tracting the parade on Sunday. So there's a lot going on, and we could use the prayers. I could use the prayers, definitely. Our church could, for sure, and anything the Lord leads you to do, that would be great, for sure. And I hope these have been a blessing to you to help you as we go through. And I know, you know, these are definitely, you know, strange things to cover and talk about. And people like to, you know, to watch these and to learn some things from these. And it's good too, but it won't always be on things like this. I'll be doing some different things, and we'll be trying, challenging ourselves, you know, in our faith and our walk with you, our walk with the Lord and your walk with God, and, you know, all of our walks together as we serve the Lord and live for Him and serve Him every day of our lives, okay? So it's a challenge, but God is good to us. God is faithful, and He takes care of us and keeps us going here and through all adversity and through all challenges. I just preached a message that went on YouTube and on Sermon Audio. And I'm going to be preaching the second part. It was an hour and a half long. It was an hour and a half long on Sunday. And I thought I was going to get through it, but I didn't actually get through it. You know, I didn't get through all of it just because of I had a lot more content there than I realized. But anyway, praise the Lord for that. Let's see. I'm trying to find something here. Let me see. Oh, here we go. That's what I'm looking for, I think. There we go. Okay, so yesterday, it's called Doctrinal Depression, Feelings Over Facts. You ought to listen to that. That would be helpful for sure. You know, that would be helpful for sure. Will we be broadcasting the event? Yes. Part of it will be broadcasted different times, and we'll be broadcasting live downtown Northfield and the challenges that are there and, you know, just the evangelism and working with people and trying to help them. So we'll definitely be down there broadcasting through all that. So, but listen to that sermon if you haven't listened to it yet, Doctrinal Depression. Those will help you. Sometimes you may not be going through that, but you know, you can still, yeah, pray for Pastor Hoggard and pray for Lisa for her surgery coming up tomorrow. And just be in prayer for them, okay? They need it right now. And we thank God for His grace and His mercy towards them as well and all that He does for them. But you keep them in prayer, okay? These are trying times for sure. And we thank the Lord for His grace and for His mercy and His kindness towards us, okay? Anyway, I'm going to get off here, and I'm going to go run on my elliptical and get home and eat some dinner and get to church here tonight. I'll be preaching back in the book of Acts. So I got to get moving here. Hope you have a good night, and we'll see you, Lord willing, Friday. I might broadcast, do one broadcast Friday. I'm just not sure yet, okay? So we'll see what happens, but we will be live out there on the streets too as well. So anyway, have a good night. God bless you all.